If you've ever been to an art show or an auction in Unalaska, you've seen Judy Reuter's quilts. Her work is so iconic that the Museum of the Illusions will be showcasing her quilts this spring. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Excited to talk about quilts.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. Just starting off, I mean, you're known pretty well around the town for your extreme skill and also, I guess, prolificness in quilting. How did you first get into this hobby?
Well, it's kind of by accident because I've always loved quilts. I love the history and the symbolism and whatnot. But my mother-in-law was a quilter, and when she died, her three daughters did not want any of her quilting supplies, and so my husband got them and gave them to me. And there were two unfinished quilt tops in there, and I thought, I'm going to learn how to do this so I can finish these. And that was about 15 years ago. But the sad thing is I've never finished them because there's two tops and I have three sons. If I finish them, I have to decide who gets them.
Are there two other people in your life that you could potentially give them to?
No, they will eventually go to my sons. And what I told them I'm going to do is finish them and then they can get them when I die and fight over them.
Well, it's cool that it actually is in this way a almost forced family tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's something that someone kind of left to you, even mm-hmm. if they didn't show you while they were alive.
Right. Well, and it's a legacy. If you look at quilting, it's one of the primary American women art forms. And for so many years, quilts were considered a craft that the little woman participated in. It was not seen by most men as an art. But it truly is, and it's something that connects us to our foremothers, especially in the United States.
Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, you think about when the first settlers were crossing the prairies, and they brought their wives with them, a lot of them. And one of the things that communities did, the women would get together and have quilting bees, and they would make quilts for the hope chest or the dowry of the woman that was going west. And a lot of these were symbolic. They would have an applique piece on there that would have flowers or a person's profile or something, and they were signed by the people who made the blocks, and it was a memory thing because they didn't think they would ever see these people again. So it went west, and it just blossomed from there. We've lost so many of those old quilts because they were utility. They were used until they wore out, literally. And as these women were on the prairie, there's no places there where they could get fabric of any kind. And that's why quilts were made from scraps, because when you have a piece of clothing that's worn out, there's usually some pieces that are still good. So they would cut those out and put them in their little bag where they kept their scraps, and then they would start making quilts. And it was also a social thing, because that way the women would get together. Like, they'd have a barn raising, and the men would all work at doing the barn stuff. The ladies would cook and quilt, and that's how they would put all these quilts together.
And going back to the idea of memory, it sounds like mm-hmm. that actually plays a major role in the quilts that you construct oftentimes. I was wondering if you might be able to talk about that a little bit.
Well, both memory and symbolism play a major role in what I do. I do make a type of comfort quilt for folks where, for example, I will take shirts or articles of clothing for someone who has passed on, and I will use those pieces of fabric to make an actual quilt. And that, for some people, is highly comforting to have whatever that was of that person. So that's one thing. And the symbolism, if you look at a lot of the quilt blocks out there, a lot of them are very symbolic. A lot of them have religious symbolism. You know, there's different crosses. There's different, you know, Jacob's ladder. You know, Jacob's ladder is the ladder that went to heaven. And so there's a block called that. So there's a lot of religious stuff. There's also political. There's a 54-40-year fight block. There's a Carrie Nation block. There's all kinds of things. And when I make quilts, I try to incorporate something that I think represents the person. It's difficult sometimes because when I'm making, especially the comfort quilts, a lot of times I don't know the person I'm making them for. So I just have to do the best I can, you know.
Yeah. And what sort of reactions have you got into making these quilts?
I've never had a bad reaction, which is good. I'm always a little hesitant with people I don't know because you don't know what the reaction's going to be. But so far, everything has always been positive. People, especially the ones I don't know, and I don't usually give them the quilts. It's somebody else that said there's a need, and I give it to them to give. That makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But people have said that they were just astounded to receive something, and they've later said that it's just so comforting and so wonderful. Most of the comfort quilts I do are for people with cancer. And apparently when you undergo chemo and that, you feel really cold all the time. And I don't know if it's because the room they sit in is cold or I don't know. But the quilts, they can cover up with them and take them to their chemo treatments and whatnot. And they just seem to find them very comforting.
What's your favorite quilt that you've ever made?
You know, that's such a hard question.
Okay,
usually
a few of them.
My favorite quilt is the one I'm working on right now. I made a quilt for my middle son. He graduated with a degree in space biology. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, he does computer programming for the space program, or at least hopefully he still has a job. And when he graduated, I found a quilt pattern where there are 13 blocks, and each block is named after one of the seas on the moon. And it was in beautiful colors, and they were all a mariner's compass pattern. And I just fell in love with it. So that's probably one of my very favorite quilts. Mm-hmm. And the next favorite, I just recently made a bug jar quilt for my oldest grandson, which he absolutely loves. And that was a really fun quilt to make. So those are a couple of my favorites. I have a couple of patterns that I really love. A friend of mine from one of my quilt groups online designs patterns, and she's made one called Chain Event. And I've probably used that pattern 5 or 6 times because it's one of my favorites.
And I meant to ask you this earlier when you first brought this term up. So I'm someone who knows next to nothing about quilting. I feel like I have an idea of what you're referring to when you're talking about blocks, but could you tell us what the different components of the quilt are?
Well, every quilt starts out, you make the top, and that's the part that is pieced. So basically you take large pieces of fabric and you cut them up into really small pieces of fabric, and then you sew them back together in some kind of a pattern. And usually you work in blocks, which is one section, and the blocks sometimes repeat, and sometimes if you have like a sampler quilt, you may have 12 different blocks. And that's a way, actually, the sampler quilts were what they used to use to teach young girls how to make each block. And then at the end, they would have 12 different blocks, and they could put them together, and that went in their hope chest. So the blocks are the smaller units, and each block may have anywhere from 3 or 4 to 20 or 30 sub-pieces, just depends on what you're making. And when you combine them, you get different shapes. A lot of it's geometrical, so you have a lot of geometrical shapes. So anyway, you put your blocks together, and that makes your top. And then most quilts are made up of 3 components. You have the top. You have the middle of the quilt, which is the batting, which can be, well, back in the olden days, they used to use old quilts as batting for the new quilts because, again, nothing was wasted. Nowadays, we have 100% cotton. We have cotton polyester. We have 100% polyester. We have bamboo. We have recycled plastic bottles. We have wool, and we have silk. I've never worked with silk. I can't afford it. But I think it would make an amazing batting. And then you have the backing, which is another piece of fabric. And again, the backing can be pieced as well as the front. Some people do that and make kind of a two-sided quilt. Mm-hmm. But after you get those 3, you put them together, which is called sandwiching. And once they're put together, you either pin or baste. Some people baste, make running stitches across. I prefer to use the pins. So I use big safety pins to pin it together, and then you actually quilt it. You sew all three layers together. That's the quilting process. And the final step would be to sew the binding and some kind of a label on it.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it depends on how intricate your patterns are, but how long does it take you to make a quilt on average?
I have some really simple patterns that I can go from start to finish in about 2 weekends. So we're looking at about 60 hours. But I've had the one I told you that I made for my son, that took me 4 years to finish it because it's pretty intricate, a lot of pieces. Honestly, it was probably more than it was beyond my skill level when I first started. I got a lot better by the end, but it was a little beyond me when I first started.
And how many quilts have you made?
I've made at least 80 comfort quilts.
And I guess for someone who wants to pick up quilting, what advice would you give them?
Well, I have mixed feelings about this because it's kind of like telling somebody they need to get addicted to something. most quilters are addicted to fabric and addicted to quilting, so, you know, it takes a lot of time. If somebody is really serious about wanting to get started, there's several different ways. You can buy books and get started. There are a lot of online groups. Yahoo has several that I belong to. And all the people there will help if you need help. If somebody local is really interested, you have to have your own sewing machine, needles, threads, fabrics, whatnot. I would be willing to teach people if they really seriously want to learn. What I find is a lot of people say they want to learn, but when I tell them what they need, they kind of go, maybe later.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it seems like it should be a pretty thrifty habit. I mean, because you're dealing with a lot of recycled materials. But, I mean, yeah, what's sort of the upfront cost of...
Anymore, you will find almost nobody who uses recycled materials. And quilt fabric nowadays is made from what they call gray goods. All fabric is gray goods, but it's from lesser to better quality, and quilt fabric is made out of better quality. So when you buy it, because of all the cotton problems, the cotton crop was ruined last year and whatnot, the price of fabric's gone way up, and it now costs anywhere from about $12 to $15 a yard for just cotton fabric. And if you use, you know, some of the fancier battings and that, it can be even more than that. Your average, say, full to queen size quilt would probably take anywhere from 10 to 18 yards of fabric. It depends on how intricate the pattern is, because the smaller the pieces you have to cut, the more fabric you lose because you're sewing more seams together.
Yeah, I mean, so just back of the envelope math, you can be talking more than a couple of $100
just
worth of fabric.
Exactly.
And that's not even including the equipment that you're using or your man hours.
Needles, pins. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's one reason why people are always asking me about selling my quilts, and they want to pay me $50 or $100 for a quilt. I can't. I can't afford to sell my quilts.
Yeah.
Nobody would be able to pay for them. So,
but you do donate your quilts to various nonprofits. I mean, you donated one to our auction that we're really looking forward.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Is it?
Did I haven't you see seen the name
it
on it?
No. Could you describe it?
That is called the Manly Hibernation Quilt. I get comments frequently that I only make quilts for women, because I tend to use a lot of flowers and a lot of bright colors, which I think we kind of need here. So every once in a while I make a manly quilt. This one is cotton flannel, and it has moose and deer and bears on it. And then the in-between blocks are a bear paw pattern. And the back is a really plush fleece. So that's... It's 63 wide by 81 long. I figured even a tall man could use that when he's power napping on the sofa or whatever. That's why it's a hibernation quilt.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean,
just how many quilts have you donated to like various nonprofits out here? I'm just trying to figure out like how much money probably has been raised on your quilts alone.
If you figure I've made at least four, and some years I've made as many as two that I donated at a time. So I've made at least somewhere between 24 and 30 quilts that I've donated to this point.
So, I mean, we're easily talking thousands and thousands of dollars to local groups out here, basically.
Well, yeah. If you, I don't want to sit down and figure out how much it costs.
No, but, but I mean, you know, I've seen how much the quilts go for in the auctions.
Think about it, though. It keeps me at home and off the streets and out of trouble, so I don't have any legal costs. Well, it keeps me out of the bars.
Because I'm sure you'd be menacing the town otherwise. Anyway, I guess, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I think that's probably about it. I would encourage anybody just to get into some of the history of quilts and stuff because they're fun. The Underground Railroad, there's a lot of verbal history. It's pretty much discounted by the male history professors because there's no scientific evidence. They have word of mouth, but they don't have pictures of some of the Underground Railroad quilts. So they claim they never existed.
Could you tell me a little bit more about them?
The Underground Railroad. Well, you know, the Underground Railroad were when the slaves were trying to escape to freedom. And a lot of your, most of your slaves were illiterate. They couldn't read, so they couldn't read signs and that. They traveled a lot of times at night when they could, just, you know, to avoid patrols and whatnot. And quilts were made. For example, they have one block called the Delectable Mountains. And that was one that figured prominently because you could put the mountain, they would lay the quilts over a fence, which people did anyway to air them out. But you lay it over the fence, and depending on which way the mountains pointed, it could give the slaves directions on which way to go. There were also other quilts they could throw in a certain way that would say, danger, don't come here. Or, this is a safe place, it's one of the stations on the Underground Railroad, come on in. You know, just various blocks had various meanings.
Well, it's been really interesting having you talk about quilting, Judy. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
That was Judy Reuter, and I'm Alexandra Gutierrez, host of The Exchange. Thanks so much for listening this week, and be sure to tune in Wednesday, March 7th, when we're back again with two more guests. Thank you.